M. Lowell.
Good evening and welcome to what I expect will be a fabulous show. You see, it's all about the Beatles and a brand new group that's coming to Hobart for the first time for a public performance. They're called Britbeat. They're more than just a Beatles tribute act. It's a multimedia concert journey through the Beatles music. It's visual and audio. Multiple costume changes, great gear, talented musicians, and some outstanding visuals. We're going to talk to one of the principals of that band, Mr. Chris Getzla. He's the Paul of the band. He's also the founding member. And we're going to talk a little bit about what Britbeat is all about, how they got to where they are, and why they are so different than all the other Beatle tributes. Because, hey, the visuals really anchor the music and bring it all home. So that's all happening after your headlines here on Lakeshore Public Radio. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for supporting public radio here at Lakeshore at 89.1 FM on the dial and streaming worldwide at lakeshorepublicradio.org. It's time for Midwest Beat, a program all about music and the people who make it. I'm your host, Tom Lounges, and this show is going to be truly fabulous, as I said. You see, we're going to be talking to a gentleman who, is recreating the magic, the music, and the visuals of the Fab Four, the Beatles. Not just one period, but all the periods. You see, the band is called Britbeat, and they are truly a multimedia concert journey through the Beatles' musical history. That's the way they bill it, and that's the way they perform it. And I know that because I brought this group for a private concert event about 2 years ago. First time I saw them, and everyone in the room lost their minds. They left such an impression on the audience and on me that I decided we need to bring them to town in Northwest Indiana for a public performance. So they're going to make their first performance in Hobart, Indiana, dawdling down here that's going to be the Art Theater. The Hobart Art Theater is going to present Britbeat this Saturday night with special guest Rockin' Horse. But before we bring Chris, who is the Paul and founding member of Britbeat, let's let the music do the talking. A little Britbeat doing Beatles.
Close your eyes and I'll kiss you. Tomorrow I'll miss you. Remember, I'll always miss you. And while I'm away, I'll ride home every day. And I'll send all my love to you. I'll pretend that I can sing the lips that I'm missing and hope that my dreams will come true. Yeah.
And the crowd goes wild, not for the Beatles, but for Britbeat, doing the Beatles. And the songs you're going to be hearing on tonight's program are actually the band Britbeat covering classic Beatles songs. We're going to get to a few of those tonight as we talk with Chris Getzla. He is the Paul McCartney and founding member of the band. And one of the things that's unique about this band is that not only do they have more visuals than most of the other tribute acts that are out there, if not all, they also cover more ground of the Beatles' career. So let's welcome Chris on board. Chris, how are you?
Hey, good evening, Tom. This is Paul from Britbeat. Thanks for having me.
All right, love to have you.
Thank you.
is it hard to not slip into the British accent back and forth when you're either on stage or off stage?
You know, it's funny because going all the way back to high school when this all started for me, I was in an a cappella group and one of the audition in high school. And when I auditioned for the a cappella group, I was so into the Beatles, even at that time when I auditioned, they said, you know, Chris, you sound great, but this time do it without a Liverpudlian accent. so it's always been kind of with me the way the Beatles sing. And sometimes it's just for fun. It's cool to kick on the Liverpudlian accent.
All right. Now, how long have you actually been doing this? The root and the seed was planted back in high school, as you mentioned, but now you guys have been around for quite a while. You've developed a show that's second to none, and I'd like to hear the growth process of when you took this professional.
So coming out of high school, that was the birth of it all. My junior, senior year of high school, we did the school variety show. It was real success. People enjoyed it quite a bit, especially the faculty being baby boomers. So that was a lot of fun for us. Coming out of high school, as some of the band went into college, I was focused on keeping it going. So started auditioning other performers because some of the high school guys were transitioning out at that point. But we kept it going. We contacted different agents and started like any band does at the beginning, you know, just trying to get to that next step. Fortunately, and we're real privileged to have had some success. And certainly now we're performing in performing arts centers and showrooms around the country. And it's a lot of fun. And it's a real privilege to be able to do this so many years later. But it's been a real thrill ever since the beginning.
Now, you guys have been playing not only the clubs and the festivals and things, but you've been playing in huge entertainment capitals like Vegas. I mean, we've got some clips here that we're going to play from Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas, Nevada.
That's exactly right. In fact, that first clip you did play, that was from Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas. That okay. was a real fun opportunity. It was a massive room at Mandalay Bay. They had a few thousand people in the room, and it was incredible. It was just an incredible opportunity. Nothing like being in a band and you're pulling up to your gig, you know, in your van, and all of a sudden there it is. You're walking into Mandalay Bay. It's quite a step up.
Now, it's where exactly are you guys based out of? Now, the reason I ask is I remember the first time we got together and I was booking the group, I had to go to some place in Ohio, I want to say Cincinnati, Cleveland, somewhere, to get a number, and then you called me back from Chicago. So mm-hmm. where are you based out of?
It is Chicago that we're based. So, okay. Northwest suburbs as well, but that's where we're based. I went to school in Glenview, Illinois, so the northwest suburbs there at Glenbrook South High School. That was the high school that I was referring to earlier, and been here my whole life. So it's love Chicago, love the hometown.
Now, you guys have gotten a lot of testimonials from some big names that are connected to the Beatles, one being Pete Best, the original drummer of the group, who has given you glowing reviews. Many of you, in fact, bump the button there. many of them have been just praising you guys as being one of the best groups out there ever. Which one are you proudest of as far as these testimonials?
Yeah, well, Pete Best was a special one, though, when you just mentioned there. That was a very cool moment in Britbeat history, if you will. In 2005, we did the 40th anniversary of the Beatles performing at the time Comiskey Park, so where the White Sox played. Mm-hmm. And so so we got a call from Pete Best's manager, and you know, at first you kind of turn your head sideways when it says, you know, hi, I'm Pete Best's manager, and you're like, what, the Pete Best? And yes, that the Pete Best wanted to come into Chicago, perform at this 40th anniversary, and wanted to select a Beatles tribute show to perform with. And so it was a coordinated effort there between the two bands, his band and our band. So we would perform with Pete. He actually played drums on our drum set, and we did a show together. And at the end of it, he said, you know, you guys are really the best. And when Pete Best says you're the best, that's a pretty cool testimonial.
That's right. Best says you're the best. I like that.
Yeah.
Something else that you guys have done that a lot of artists haven't done that do the tribute shows is you've actually performed with many friends of the Beatles on the Flower Power Cruise. Different people like Chad and Jeremy, the Yardbirds, Spencer Davis, they were all there side by side as part of the British invasion, and you performed on stage with them during this cruise to Jamaica. That was about a year or two ago. Tell us about that experience and what some of those guys thought.
Yeah, the Flower Power Cruise is put on by Star Vista, and it is incredible. It is just one of the coolest things we have done with Britbeat, and it's actually led into us this year. Earlier this year, we were fortunate enough to play on another one of their cruises. They have the Flower Power Cruise, which really focuses on the 60s and late 60s hippie era. But also they put on the Malt Shop Memories Cruise, which is the late 50s, early 60s. And we've actually had an opportunity to perform in there as well. But going back to Flower Power, yes, we were able to meet some very cool artists. The original artists sailed with these artists and certainly had a chance to talk to some of them. Like I had a short conversation with Peter Asher, and the man is incredible. I mean, he was telling me stories about Paul and mm-hmm. some of those early songs that they wrote, and he was there while they were writing it, and he's telling me this, and it's just incredible to have had that opportunity, to have these opportunities when we play on Flower Parkers to chat with these guys.
Yeah, he was on the show not too long ago, and he was telling stories like that about, you know, when he was the A&R director for Apple Records, and when his sister Jane was dating Paul, how he got to be very close, and they'd hang out in the house together, and just to be able to be near someone that was near someone like Paul McCartney is very cool. And why Paul for you, of all the Beatles, why was Paul the one that connected with you?
Well, I think it's true of anybody that you have your favorite Beatle.
Mine's George. Mine's George. I'm sorry.
Hey, good pick. It's okay. It's okay. When I watched the Beatles early on, just becoming a Beatle fan, I was drawn to Paul. I loved that he was left-handed. I thought that just looked cool. And I loved the violin bass. I always wanted one of those basses when I was a kid. In fact, all my friends in school, whenever they buy a guitar or they tell me they bought a guitar, I'd be like, did you get the violin one? The violin one? And they'd all look at me sideways like, what are you talking about? And I was just drawn to that that bass and Paul and the way he did what he did. And so when it came time to performing and playing Beatles stuff, I just naturally wanted to do that. In fact, I was like any kind of buddy would. I started playing electric guitar first, not mm-hmm. bass, and I'm playing it right-handed because, as it turns out, I'm actually ambidextrous. So I'm playing this guitar right-handed, but I wanted to play lefty, and I just thought, no big deal, I'll just switch around. This, of course, was odd to anybody else that I was telling. I was going to just get a left-handed bass. All of a sudden, they said, what? you know, especially my folks, they said, what are you going to do? And so I ordered this left-handed bass and just started doing it, and I was successful with that. So it's fantastic that that I can play both ways. So I can play the right-handed stuff and the left-handed stuff.
And you do play a Hofner, which is what Paul plays.
Yeah, yeah.
You finally got that violin bass.
Yeah, yeah. I actually have a few of them at this point now too. So that's I'm quite happy to have a little Hofner collection at this point.
All right. Once again, Britt Mead coming to the Hobart Art Theater this Saturday, the 21st, with special guest Rockin' Horse, and we're going to take you through the history of the Beatles, and we're going to talk a little about those periods in just a moment. But let's play another song from Britt Mead doing the Beatles. We'll be back with Chris after this. You should know better than to do anything this Saturday except go see Britt Mead. So that's who we're listening to. That's who we're talking to tonight on Midwest Beat here at Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I should have known better. And that's some of the early stuff we've heard so far. And we're going to start getting into some of the latter-day stuff in their career. And that's one of the things, Chris, who is Paul, is with us here tonight. And that's one of the things, Chris, that I like about you guys is most of the other tributes that are out there to the Beatles tend to have three periods. They do the early, the mid, and the late, and that's it. You guys multiply that by two more, or by three more, actually. You have nine. If you take those three and multiply it by three, you've got nine here. You start with the British Invasion, which is, of course, when we all met the Beatles back in the day, and then you take it back to the Cavern Club, and then you go forward again. It's kind of a neat progress, the way you present this. The whole history of the Beatles is told. You could be a complete novice, not know a thing about them except maybe a few of the songs, and by the time you leave your show, you're pretty well educated on what happened and why they became one of the greatest bands in the world. What period is your favorite, if I might ask?
Oh, yeah. No, thanks, Tom. It is a huge show, and we did. If you go to the BritBeat.com and you check out our website, you'll see those nine acts and how we break it all up, and it's it's fantastic that we can do that in a 2-hour show because there is so much history. There's so much history, and you know we want to do it justice. We want to show everybody what transpired over those. Actually, it's pretty short. When you think about the Beatles coming to the United States in 64, and 3 years later they're going psychedelic, and then just a few years after that they're breaking up. It's phenomenal how much music came out of those few short years. But personally, my favorite is the early touring Beatles is just so classic. And it's what really sets the tone of the show. So I really enjoy performing that high energy early touring years set that we start out with. It's hard to not say that the later years aren't musically stunning, mm-hmm. because those songs are stunning to listen to and stunning to play. They're just a lot of fun. Earlier we were talking about playing bass, and the bass lines from the early Beatles are so much different than the later Beatles. I mean, Paul was such a melodic player, and the way that they evolved with their music is just phenomenal. And so that's what makes it a great show. There's a beginning, a middle, and an end, and it evolves so much.
Along with the music, the visuals that you guys have that go along with it are incredible, as well as the stage show. And we're going to touch on that in a bit. But given the fact that you did get a chance to perform on a bill and get to hang out with Peter Asher, who was there, who was practically family with Paul McCartney, and you heard the stories, what was his commentary? What was his thoughts when he saw you guys perform? Because you are so different.
He was very cool about chatting with us, meeting up with us when we see him on the ship. He was very supportive in that sense. He you know, we'd see him in the hallway, we'd wave, he'd wave. It was very cool. He gave us thumbs up. In fact, he was also on the other cruise, Malt Shop Memories cruise, that late 50s, early 60s cruise, and he saw us on that ship, and we saw him watching us, and you know, he gave us a thumbs up. It was very cool. He actually is quite a busy guy on the ship, because of course all the cruisers on board, they want to get the stories, they want to talk to him. So we only have little bits of time to chat with him, but it was just fascinating to just spend even just a few minutes here and there with him, and just hear a couple of quick stories about how he was there when, you know, Paul was writing "I Want to Hold Your Hand" and things like that. So it was fascinating. It was just really, really a cool opportunity.
Okay. And for the listeners, we're talking about the fact that there's so many different eras of the Beatles, and they are well covered. Act One, of course, British Invasion. That's when everybody met him. They got off at JFK, came down to the TWA. I believe it was airplane. Pan Am. It was Pan Am. Came down the walkway there. We met them. They went on Ed Sullivan. Ed Sullivan is another period you guys cover where you recreate the stage show. Of course, the Cavern Club before they came to the States when they were big. The things that you cover that other bands don't are Act 4, which is the Shea Stadium concert, which a lot of people forget about, that they sold out Shea Stadium in a matter of minutes. And you also cover the experimental era and in the studio, which I found pretty fascinating, to actually work in the studio as the Beatles. And those are the ones that I kind of want to touch a little more on, because a lot of fans don't realize how much went into those specific eras.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. The show covers as much of the Beatles history as we possibly can. By going into the different eras, the different, there's actually 6 costume changes that we do along with all of that. So we can really touch on each one. The Shea Stadium one, as you mentioned, is an exciting part of the show. That was the height of Beatlemania, if you will. That was, 60,000 screaming fans in New York at Shea Stadium. That was an epic moment in their history. No band really up to that point in history had performed for an audience that big. So it's a major part of history and Beatles history. So of course it has to be in the show. So now, we made sure that we covered that.
If I'm not mistaken with my Beatle history, isn't that the show where they decided we've had enough of this? We can't even hear ourselves on stage because they were screaming so loud.
I think that was the start of it, because they still performed the year following in 66. They were still performing live, and they did Shea Stadium twice. The first year was 65, and the second time was in 66 there. Pretty much towards the end of 66, they were getting a little fed up, and then said, that's it, we want to hear ourselves, we want to go into the studio, and then, of course, the rest is history. They evolved into the psychedelic era and the later years, which was phenomenal.
How do you present the experimental era and the in studio? Obviously, you'd have to be a fly on the wall to kind of get a feel for what they did. Where did the research come from? Did you read stuff with George Martin? Did you talk more with Peter Asher on stuff like that to get that real belief thing going? Because when you see you guys do that, you feel like you're actually watching the Beatles in action creating.
No, thanks, Tom. It's actually an exciting part of the show, because we are able to kind of take a bit of our own creativity and pull that in, because the Beatles never did that live. So unlike the early years where you are trying to copy all of their mannerisms and things that they said live on stage in 62 to 65, now you're heading into the studio era. So doing that live, you can sort of the movements on stage, what we're saying in between songs, is kind of some of Britbeat's creativity, and it's a group effort, really. We're very, very much just like any band, where you all kind of contribute, and we all say, hey, you know, this would be cool if we try this, or this would be fun if we did that. And that is how we are able to approach the psychedelic in the later years. But the real gem here, and I'm sure we're going to touch on this in a minute or two, but the real gem and the real standout part of the show, and what really helps tell the story of the Beatles, is our multimedia, is that video behind us, which is just incredible. And we're really proud of it. It's amazing. It's professionally Hollywood produced. And it's something that really not only tells the story of the Beatles, but just makes it so immersive for the audience that they don't even know what to look at. Performers on, they were wearing all these colorful suits. There's the video, there's the guitar over here, this guy's moving over here. We've designed the show that way so that you can't just see it once. You have to say to yourself, I have to see it again because I missed something. You know, so we wanted that in the show. So that's been really fun to be creative.
That said, since we're touching on that, let's give a shout out to your tech crew. Randy, correct?
Right. Yes, he's our front of house.
Yeah, and he actually helped create the visuals for this show, if I remember right.
Yeah, we actually do everything in-house. So everything's created by us. So exactly. So Randy, myself, we all contribute. We all have different ideas of what we want to see up on the screen, and we make it happen. We build everything from scratch and make it so that it's customized to the Britbeat show. So it's incredible. It's hard to explain. An audience member just has to see the show to experience it.
I've been trying to explain it to people, and words just can't do it justice. I mean, it's mind-boggling. Your brain will just swell watching this, because there is so much going on. You're showing clips, and you're showing still pictures, and you're showing vintage commercials. I mean, there's so many things going on with the multimedia screen behind you, the costume changes, the fog effects, the different things, the staging, the instruments. It's almost like being sucked into a black hole or a time warp, and we're traveling with you to these different eras of the Beatles music. And how much time could you possibly have invested in creating that multimedia show? It has to be thousands of hours.
It is thousands of hours for sure, and certainly if we were if we were adding all the time up, I almost don't want to know how many hours we put into it.
Half your life has spent making this show.
I'd probably be mortified. Yeah, yeah. Somewhere along the way, I'm sure I've forgotten to sleep and things like that. So yeah, no, it's incredible. It's a lot of fun, but that's just it. It's a labor of love. We love doing the show. We love putting that out there, and it's all because we're Beatle fans. We love the Beatles, every one of us in the show, and so we wanted to make it incredible for an audience member to not only see the Beatles, but experience what it was like to be in the 60s. Mm-hmm. So it's a whole immersive trip back in time. It literally turns theaters into a time machine. So we're excited about that.
How long does it take to set that show up? Because it does seem very consuming.
So hours. So we will usually get to a venue either in the morning or somewhere around the late morning to noon time, and so about 6-7 hours just to get everything going before doors open for audiences. So
wow.
it's pretty intense. You know, we have a great crew, but you know, when you look at what we have to do, you know, the keyboards need to be set up, you know, with all of the programmed sounds. The guitars have to be set up so that everything is fine tuned. Even the drums. If any drummers out there come see the Britbeat show, you'll notice that the beginning of the show, the drums sound a certain way, and then in the later part of the show, they sound totally different. We've actually figured out a way, technically, to completely change it around so that the kit changes sounds, and it's very cool that we can nab those Ringo tones from the beginning of the show all the way to the later part of the show, and same thing with the guitars and the keyboards, and so. To fine tune all that stuff and make sure it sounds good in the mix at every venue, it takes a long time, but we enjoy it.
Have you had any feedback from anyone in Ringo's camp or Paul McCartney's camp at this point? Because you're obviously out and about, you're larger than life out there now in the Beatle world. Have any of them seen clips or come to shows or anything?
Well, I will share this story.
Okay.
Ringo and Paul have not actually come to one of our shows yet. We would be more than excited to have that happen. But we actually were contacted by Apple, and
that
Apple,
could be a good thing or a bad thing.
That's what we said, and so we were wondering what that was all about.
Mm-hmm.
Apple finally heard about us. And so that was a moment in our history. We were happy that actually we had made enough noise that it got the attention of Apple. Turns out that it was a situation where Britbeat, the logo, looked very similar to the Beatles logo, being that we have the big B at the beginning and we have the drop T in the middle, which is the classic, you know, everybody knows the Beatles logo with the drop T in the center. So, you know, it just looks really close. Is there any way that you could raise up the T? And we said, well, you know, we've had the logo a very long time. And they said, well, we've had it since 1963. So what do you, yeah. So we said, well, touche. Turns out we had registered trademark the name a while back. And when they kind of found out about that, they said, you know what, here's the deal. You can keep the logo just at the very bottom. Can you put a tribute to the Beatles? And we said, not a problem. So whenever we post the logo, we put Britbeat, a tribute to the Beatles. And we got the thumbs up from Apple, and Apple said, "Okay, you have an agreement with us. Very cool. You can go about your business." So it was a cool moment.
Well, so you've basically gotten the blessing of the Beatles company to do the Beatles. I mean, that's pretty cool. And there are a lot of references, actual clips and things of actual footage from the old days that incorporate their way into the show. So that I imagine they're cool with too then.
Yeah. The actually, all of the footage and pictures of the Beatles that we have in the multimedia, it's very limited because, like I said, we created everything ourselves, mm-hmm. so we've done it so that it's customized for us. But there's a couple of pictures of the Beatles, things like that, all public domain stuff or news owned footage and things like that. So yeah, we're clear with the multimedia as well. So we're but yeah, that's always in the back of our minds too. We obviously we are fans of the Beatles, but certainly our goal is to not step on any toes. We want to be Beatle fans. We want to honor the music, honor the Beatles, and not push any buttons anywhere along
right.
the way.
Right. We were talking, and you mentioned keyboards. Of course, the keys played a big part of Beatles music later in their career, the last few years, as the bass player and guitar player at times. Do you also play, since it's a string instrument, piano yourself, as Paul does?
Yeah, play Hey Jude and Let It Be in the show. So two classic Paul songs to do. We always get requests for those two, Hey Jude and Let It Be. I can't get away from it. So I love doing those songs. Let It Be is a very special. It's very great part of the show. We also Hey Jude is usually one that we'll always do at the end. Get everybody singing along.
Right.
So yeah, I mosey over to the piano a little bit. Shows the diversity of the band too, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
John and Eli, who plays John on our show, you know, he plays harmonica, plays piano, plays guitar. George at one point will go over to the piano and play some bits on Obla Di Obla Da. So all the band members, we each have our moments on different instruments. So it's pretty cool.
All right. Well, let's play Let It Be, the Britbeat version. And we'll be back a final time with Chris and talk a little more about the big show coming up. In fact, right now I'm going to open up the phone lines while we get ready to play this and give away a pair of tickets to the show on Saturday. Again, Saturday, December 21st at the Hobart Art Theater at 230 Main Street, downtown Hobart. I'm producing the show with Chris and the guys, and we're going to have a great time. And you're invited to be on the guest list right now at 219-769-9577. 219-769-9577. And you get busy dialing as he gets busy playing the piano. This is Let It Be with Britbeat.
Sing along with this one. When I find myself in times of struggle, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. Words of wisdom, let it be. cloudy. There is still a light that shines on me. Shine until tomorrow. Let it be. Awaken to the sound of music. Mother Mary comes to me. Speaking words of wisdom. Let it be.
Classic Beatles, done there by Brit Beat, and that's a song you will hear for sure on Saturday, December 21st, when you come to the Hobart Art Theater in downtown Hobart for Brit Beat in concert. It's a multimedia journey through the music and magic and history of the Beatles. Congratulations to Tracy from Lake Station. She won tickets. She'll be joining us. And Chris is on the phone with us still. Chris is Paul and the founding member of the group. And Chris, I do want to talk about the other guys in the band. We've got Eli, as you mentioned, is John, and Jeff is George, and Jeremy is Ringo. How long have these guys all been with you?
So, many years now, actually. Jeff is coming up, I think, on his 10th year in the group, so that's fantastic. Eli, I think, 8 years now in the group. Jeremy's our newest member as Ringo, so it's been a real pleasure to have him, and what a Beatle fanatic he is. So it's fantastic. That's on the... That's definitely on the application when you audition. You got to be a Beatle fan, okay? Number one. So that's great. And of course, Matt is our keyboardist, and he's been with us now for 5 years now. So it's fantastic. So we're really really excited to have these guys. It's a great lineup of guys. We're not one of those groups where we. It's this huge cast and nobody really knows each other. We're a real tight group, and we all hang out, and we have a long history with each other. So it's fantastic. We're really a band.
I know that sometimes with the different tribute groups, Beatles and others, it is a cast. There's three Johns or three Pauls or three of this, and then they kind of just plug each other in, and you don't have that chemistry. And that is something that I noticed when I saw you guys 2 years ago, is there was a chemistry there. You're joking on stage, and it doesn't seem like it's just stage banter. It's actually real. You know, real conversation going on and jokes between each other. And I thought that was kind of refreshing, that it wasn't so staged and rehearsed.
That's true. Yeah, it's true. And that when you're in the tribute world, and, you know, I'm sure, you know, when you have bands that I don't know, you name it, but any tribute band, you know, they'll have, we'll grab this guy from this Led Zeppelin group or that guy from that group over there.
Mm-hmm.
And so, we just don't do it that way. We don't like to do it that way. So ultimately what we have is a core, group of guys, and that's the way we prefer to do it. So we think it makes for a better show. So we're happy about that.
Now you mentioned that there's what, 5 costume changes?
6 actually. 6 in the show. So yeah, it's incredible. Yeah, we want to get everything in. So each era really does present its own costume. So and actually when you look at the website, it's split up into technically even 9 acts. I mean, we can't do 9 costume changes. We at least we haven't figured it out yet. But we do it within 6. So it's a lot. It's pretty fun.
Now, how do you change without taking breaks? I mean, you take an intermission, as I recall. Is that correct, or is it a solid 2 hours?
Correct. Now, on this Saturday, we're actually going to do a special show where we're going to go straight through. So,
wow.
You know, when we do that, We use some video to help with some of the costume changes. Different things are playing. Maybe a commercial or one or two commercials will play while we're doing a costume change. We do this seamlessly so nobody notices. And then we'll have situations where I'll do Yesterday by myself with Matt on keyboards, and we'll do that solo song together, and then the other three are changing, and then one of those guys will then come out and do a solo song, which gives me an opportunity to change. So we do it seamlessly. We do it so that you really don't notice it, and then all of a sudden we're back out and we're in a whole different look. So again, a testament to our video and the multimedia to be able to just be that part of our show where it tells the history, it's immersive, and then you don't notice that the performers have left the stage to go change. So it's very, very exciting.
You're keeping them dazzled with other things.
Yeah.
The costuming is, looking at the photos and having seen the show, the costumes are really well done. I mean, some tributes, they come out and it's very hokey. It looks like your mom made them in the back room before the show, like a High School Musical. But your stuff is very professional. Where do you get your costuming from? I mean, is it something that you mentioned you do everything in-house? Do you have your own seamstress or a costume company?
There are seamstresses that we do hire to make the Sergeant Pepper suits, for example. So there's actually a woman out in Northwest Indiana that helps us with that, and so she is incredible because she's able to build these suits for us, custom made, and we're able to really lock in on those details that Sergeant Pepper suit. She really excels at that. There's a number of individuals that make the suits, but I think there's only like two in the whole United States that does that. So that's custom made. Some of the other suits, we actually will go overseas and we'll order stuff from England. Some of the suits that we wear in the early part of the show and the later part of the show. So we'll have all that stuff and get the Beetle boots from Liverpool, and so a lot of our other costuming actually comes from England, and so we all know what size we are in British size. So.
Do you have you played overseas? I mean, I know you're primarily in the U.S., but I think you've traveled around the world, haven't you? Different parts.
We've actually been international. We've done that obviously with the cruises. We've been international. We've been down to Mexico. We played in Puerto Vallarta. We actually had an opportunity several times to actually bring the show to Liverpool. It's actually difficult to get over there, obviously. But we've had offers, international offers. That we've had offers to play in India, and so it is an international show. Predominantly, though, we're touring in the United States. We just enjoy and have a lot of relationships with, like, again, performing arts centers and casinos around the United States. But we have taken the show overseas as well.
It seems like you don't play a lot in Chicago because it seems like you're in demand so many other places that we don't get treated to your performance as often as maybe some fans would like, which actually makes, you know, the want more, I guess you'd say, because we don't get to see you as often as some of the other bands.
Yeah, no, that's true. We actually will sometimes play a there's a performance that we'll do nearby in the suburbs of Chicago here at Skokie at North Shore Center for the Performing Arts. We've played there several times, and a lot of times we'll at the meet and greet. Well, we always like to do a meet and greet after our show, so anybody listening, and you know, definitely come on by, tell us what you thought of the show afterwards. We've had a few individuals say, "Oh my God, where are you guys from?" And we're like, "Well, we're about 20 minutes away, actually, where we live." And they're like, "What do you mean?" You know, and they all think we hail from Las Vegas or something like that. So when we do play locally, it's a lot of fun for us. We don't get to do that as much as maybe we'd like to, because there are so many different theaters around the country that want to have the show. It's a fun show, and a lot of theaters will do that. I mean, we were just in Rochester, New York, and we were down in Florida. Well, you know, California, Las Vegas, of course. So we take it anywhere and everywhere. We played Alaska four times.
Wow.
So Alaska was a lot of fun. That was and to not only do it, I mean, once or four times we went there. So it was incredible.
It's good to be wanted.
Yeah. It's a privilege. It's really a privilege. We have fun doing it, and we think that if you have fun, and people watch you and they see you having fun, and you have a good show to present, then you become a show that is in demand. So that's how we've designed it.
We have just touched on the surface of what BritBeat is all about, ladies and gentlemen. So to learn more before Saturday's show, get online. They've got an incredible website. It's BritBeat.com. That's all you have to remember, BritBeat, one word, .com. You'll see the different periods of the show that we're talking about. You'll see video clips of them performing, including some of the songs we've played today. And your website is as cool as your show. Who does your website?
Once again, that's an in-house thing that we do. I've actually been doing some web stuff lately myself, Randy and some of our other crew have helped with that.
You've got it down, my friend. You've got the package, and you've got the goods to deliver with that package. So thank you for being part of the show. Thank you for coming to Hobart and being part of our Christmas season, because I think this is going to be a great way to start the holiday season.
I think so too. I hope everybody comes out and has a pre-party to the Christmas holiday season here and sees the show on Saturday, because we're going to have a lot of fun.
All right. Don't forget Rockin' Horse, the local favorites, will be opening up the show with a short set. And then the rest of the night, it's all Brit Beats. We're going to give you a chance to win another pair of tickets to join Tracy in the winner's circle as we say goodbye to Paul. I mean, Chris. I mean, Paul. I don't know. I'm so confused.
Me too. I don't know.
We'll play Magical Mystery Tour to get us out of here, and that is from another live track from Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas. And, Chris, thank you. Be safe on the road, and we will see you on Saturday.
See you all there. Thank you.
All righty. Bye-bye. BritBeat.com is where you need to go. Let's take a tour right now.
Roll up for the Magical Mystery Tour. Step right this way.